Well, again, I'm Robert Womack. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, Tuesday of this week, the pastor gave me a call. And there's been a lot of things going on in my life, so he called me and says, "Hey, Robert, I'm checking on you to see how your mother is," because my mother had a stroke 2 weeks ago. Right after the stroke, Carly was born, so we had to drive to Birmingham. And then on Tuesday, the pastor says, "Hey, Robert, I'm just checking on you." So I'm thinking, how nice is that? That is so cool that the pastor is calling me to check on me. And he says, "Oh, by the way, my grandkids are having something. Can you preach Sunday?" I'm like, "Yes, I'll do it." I get to. The very next day, my mother falls and breaks her hip. So that's Wednesday. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Anyway, I hang up with the pastor. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to preach about? Lord, help me. And you know, I say sometimes I don't hear the Lord, but I heard, "Trust me." And I said, "You know, Lord, I trust you, but for 6 months, I've been moving, I've been doing this. I haven't been reading, I haven't been praying, I haven't been studying, I haven't been doing all this stuff. What do I need to preach on?" He says, "Trust me. I've never left you. I'm always with you." Now, I'm not the sharpest tack in the drawer. But I said, "Oh, trust me." So I'm going to talk about trusting in God today. But I want you to understand, as you heard that little story, the very first thing I did was go to my abilities, where I said, "I haven't been praying, I haven't been reading the Bible, I haven't been studying, I haven't been meditating." It was all about me. And I think, you know, life will do that to you sometimes. And you can say, "Oh my gosh," but God says, "Trust me. I've got you. I've got you by the right hand, and I'm going to lead you through this." Now, every time I've been up here, I've always been very scripted because I'm afraid I'm going to say something wrong. So I have every word written out of this sermon. But I'm going to try. I'm going to give it over and trust God for this because I want to let Him speak. All right, we need to know what the Word of God says about trusting me. So first thing, let's look at Hosea 4:6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of my law, where I will reveal my will." Now, there's more to that verse, but that's the part I wanted you to see. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay? So let's expand on this knowledge information and talk about trusting God. Luke 18:8. Again, there's a portion of the verse that I left off, but it says, "When the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on earth?" When I went to the dictionary, I said, "Okay, well, let's just define faith." So I went to the dictionary, and faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. It is a complete trust. I want you to know that there's another Bible that's the International Children's Bible. And in it says, "Will He find those on earth who believe in Him?" You know, sometimes you need to dumb it down for me to understand. So, will He come back and find people that believe in Him? Well, I promise you, there'll be people out there saying, I trust in God. But I don't know if they really believe or not. Here's a statement that Jesus taught His disciples. Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Does that not mean that God wishes His will to be done here? Yes, it does. God wants His will to be done here on earth, exactly like it is in heaven. Now, I need you guys to remember this verse because I'm going to come back to it. But God wants His will done here. In fact, God wants everyone to be saved in the earth, right?
Yes.
He said He wants everybody to come to the knowledge of salvation. He wants everyone to be saved. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for every human being that has been alive. But are there people that are not saved? Why is that? People, we have something to do. God's word is truth, and you've got to trust in this truth, but we have actions to take. God has given each one of us a free will, and part of that free will is trusting. But we have to say, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, and I receive Him as my Lord and my Savior. I had to do something. I had to exercise my trust, my faith, my belief in Him. I'd like everybody to think about that. Will everybody join me for just a second? If you are saved in this room right now, would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. Why do you believe that you're saved? You know, when people look at you, I can't see anything different about each of you. I mean, except for the fact that you're here. There's not a mark on you saying that you're saved. But we believe this because John 3:16, I think it's right there. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. We believe the Word and what it says. Okay, so I'm trusting that I'm saved. Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Again, believing and trusting in God. Let's see what the Bible says in this again. Romans 10, 8 and 9. It says, but what does it say? The Word is near you. Okay, the Word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess, you know, you're going to proclaim it. I'm going to confess my faith. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
Now look, you had to confess. You had to believe. You had to trust. But I want you to look in here. Kim put this in here for me. The word saved is sozo. Put it in a parenthesis, and I want you to remember this right here, all right? Actually, the next slide will help us with that. Strong's concordance number 4982, sozo, means to save, deliver or protect, heal, preserve, save, do well, be whole. Now, all of those words, or sozo, means all of this. And this is very important for you because I want you to remember this throughout the whole sermon here. And if I need to put it back up, I will. Trust me. All right, so everybody in here told me that they were saved. Let's do one more. Has anyone in here sinned or done anything that's wrong since you've been saved? Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, do you know someone that's sinned and done something wrong? All right. What does the world tell us about us? They say, oh, you're Christians, but I see you doing wrong things. I see you've done this. I see you've done that. The world calls us hypocrites, liars, fake. And that message is repeated over and over and over again. It says, how can you sit there? You're a hypocrite. Well, I don't care what the world says. We turn around and we confess, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Then we say, oh, I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. Now, this is things that we're saying, right? as Christians. I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. I don't see any blood in this room right here. It's a confession that we've made based on the Word of God. Jesus Christ covered us with His blood. We proclaim that we have been made the righteousness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, how can we do that when we know we've sinned and we've done something wrong? We still stand up and say, I am a child of God. I am redeemed. You cannot change my mind. You cannot convince me otherwise. I am saved. Okay? Well, let's see. Hebrews 10:14. Okay. I'm going to read what's on my sheet, and I know that we have two amplified versions. And as I was studying, I know what's on mine, so it's going to be just a word or two off, okay? So I'm not dyslexic. I am a changed man, but you know. For by the one offering, he, Jesus, has perfected forever. Do you hear that? He has perfected forever and completely, there's nothing left out of that, cleansed those who are being sanctified. All right, Jesus has already done this. He's perfected and he's already cleansed us. But he also said we are being sanctified, so that we're being molded and changed. He knows that things are going to happen, but he has already cleansed us. He's already perfected us. And we can profess that. I am a child of God. Okay? Hebrews 8:12. God is speaking up and he says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. See, God knows we're going to have some unrighteousness in our life. He says, I will be merciful to that. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's how we can stand up and say, I'm saved. I don't care. You can call me anything you want to call me, but you can't change my mind. What Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago is pertinent right now. It has happened. It is done. You're not changing my mind. Everything in the Word of God is God has finished His work. He's already done this, okay? So now that you know, there's nothing you can change about salvation, even though I can't see it on you. I don't know how you live. I don't know how you speak. But you're professing that you're saved. You're trusting that. Well, how about healing? How many of us in here, and I do want to see a show of hands, have some sort of pain, sickness, disease, infirmity, mental issues in their life right now? Again, if you don't have your hand up, how many of you have seen or know somebody that has it? Okay. Every news broadcast and every article and every radio station that you listen to speaks death, destruction, sickness, pain, hurt, lack, you name it. It's unavoidable for you to go through your day without hearing. If you're over 40 and you got up and go to the bathroom, men, you must have a swelled prostate. Or who knows what else they're advertising. But they pick some little something that's in your life and trying to get you to agree with the world. Okay? Not only are you hearing these things from messages, from external sources, but our friends and neighbors and our Christian brothers and sisters are standing up and say, oh, man, I fell, and it's just a month ago, and it's just not getting any better. It's not going to get better. I'm hurting, and it's going to be that way forever. My mom does that a lot, and she says, well, it must be God's will. Well, let's go back to God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. If it is God's will for someone to be sick and hurting here, It's His will for them to be sick and hurting in heaven. Now, that's a strange statement. Who's ever heard that? If it is God's will on earth as it is in heaven, God allowed me to do this to teach me something. Well, He's going to be teaching you for eternity if it's God's will. How many of you have heard statements like, as I've gotten older, all this stuff is starting to happen to me. You just wait till you're my age and start experiencing this stuff. I actually heard a little story as I came in this morning that children learn from us. And a little two-year-old bends down and goes, "Oh!" And it's like, where did you hear that from? Grandma or grandpa, right? It's okay if I said that, right? Yes. We've heard statements like, I've prayed to God and I'm waiting on Him to heal me. I've prayed and I don't know why He hasn't healed me, because I'm experiencing pains or hurts. I want you to know I'm experiencing pains and hurts just like everybody else. I have issues that happen. But is that what the world is saying, or is that what God is saying? That's what the world is saying. Now, I can physically feel pain and sense pain and hurt, okay? It's real. It is there. But the Word of God says something different. We have to realize that whatever He has said, God believes it's already accomplished, it's already done. Okay? So Isaiah 55:11, let's just see if that's true. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God believes that once He's spoken something, it's already done. Yes. And anytime we say, well, I'm waiting on God. No, we're not. We have something to do. And I don't know exactly what that is, but like salvation, I am professing and I am confessing the word, saying that I am saved and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, if I experience some pain and hurt, I'm going to have to stand up here and say, yes, this pain is here, it's real, but I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ and there is nothing you can do about it. So what should we say? All right. I got to go to my script. Sorry. Praise God, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Father, thank You that through the blood of Jesus, the remedy for all sickness, disease, and infirmities has been paid for. I claim my inheritance of healing this sickness or attack or whatever it is from the evil one, the adversary that's here to try to destroy you. And I am free from him. I confess in agreement with Your word that I am healed. Amen. You know what will happen when you do this? Come on. You know what will happen? The pain or sickness may just flare up and get worse. You wasn't expecting that, was you? The reason it is the Bible actually tells us that the devil will try to swoop in and steal the word that you've just been given. Yep. If I've been told I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ, and somebody tells me that for the first time, and I'm like, really? Satan's going to come in and make that pain hurt just a little bit more so that I will confess, no, that stuff don't work. He's trying to get me to step off of the word. Yes. So it may just get worse. Can we trust God for our healing? Yes. Yes, we can. Yeah. Just like salvation. See, with salvation, I don't feel something different. You can't look at me and say, he's not saved. But if I'm walking around with a cast, you say, and I'm saying I'm healed, you say, what an idiot. I can see. Well, it's much, much harder to say, I trust that I am healed. It is way harder. But realize it's not about you. The healing is not about you. The healing is about what Jesus Christ has already done for you. He took this beating. He took the stripes. He's already done it. And anytime we say, well, I'm waiting on God to do this for me, God said, you know, I thought my son had already done this. Didn't my son go to the cross? Didn't my son already pay the penalty for all this healing? I think he did. So what are they talking about? They're speaking the lies of the world. They're speaking the lies of the world. When God looks at you as a Christian, as a born-again believer, he sees the body of Christ. So you got to think about it. Is God going to put sickness on Jesus? Is God going to let Jesus run his car into a tree? No. He sees the body of Christ. We've got to change our mind and the way we talk about things. He's not allowing sickness and disease in the body. But being bombarded with words of failing health from every source, we tend to agree. Just wait till you get my age. It's like, you know what? I may have to wear reading glasses, you know, because I think I saw some blurriness the other day. We start to agree, and we start to own it, and it becomes part of us. Jesus Christ said, you will have whatever you say if you believe in it. And when I see someone older and they tell me, wait till I get their age, it's easy to believe it. But you've got to capture that thought and say, you know what? No, what does the Word of God said? He said, no, I'm healed. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. In fact, he's the one who sustains me and renews me. Now, I'm not criticizing anyone that has sickness or pain or hurting because I still have it as well. But I want you to know that God is not the one. So when we talk about things, like, I don't know why God's got me in this hospital, but I'm sure there's a reason. No, that's the world. We have to stand up and protect God in our heart. We've got to protect the image he's put in here of us so that we can believe in him. We need to agree with the Word of God, agree with Jesus with what he has said and done. We need to believe. 1 Peter 2:24. He personally, Jesus Christ, personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Once again, I'm going to read mine. It's also the same. It's the same. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin. Now, that's in the Amplified. That's an expanded portion of it. And live for righteousness. For by his wounds, you who believe have been healed. Okay? So this word healed, when I was found that sozo in Romans, I thought, well, you know, I want to make sure this is the same word. So I went to the internet, you know, and if it's on the internet, it's true, right? So I went to the internet and I pulled up, I tried to find out if this word was sozo. And page after page after page after page says, we have misinterpreted this verse, and it means a spiritual healing. And I read them, and I thought, oh, man, this, maybe I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not learned or studied or whatever in this. So possibly I'm wrong. Well, God, what does it say about that? He says, well, son, I redeemed you from the curse of the law. What? The curse of the law says if I don't follow the law, all these sicknesses and diseases and infirmities would come upon me. That's physical. He said, I've redeemed you from that.
Amen.
Okay, well, that's physical. I get that. Okay. Well, he says, son, I told you that after Jesus died and raised from the grave, he got up and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And he says, now I tell you to go out and lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I don't know how much more physical that is. So the world's trying to mislead us to live in sickness, disease, infirmities, and hurts and pains. Because it's really hard to stand up and confess it and say, I believe this. It is God's will. It is God's will for it to be the same here as it is in heaven. Now, if they say it's spiritual, we are always telling people in heaven there's no sickness and no disease. Well, how can it be God's will here if it's spiritual? We have to realize it is God's will for you to be healed no matter what you feel, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear from anyone. And you have a part to play in it. You have to defend that confession with all of your being. You have to defend it and not let anyone convince you differently. Don't let what you see, don't let what you experience change you, because it's there. I am not belittling the fact that we do have pains and chronic pains that are here all the time. And when you have that, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But if we couldn't overcome it, God wouldn't have given us a way to do it. He has empowered you. He has put His Spirit within you. The power of the creation of the world lives inside of you. We need to learn how to tap into that, because God never changed. Have faith that He and His will is to be done here. I did jump ahead, Mark 16, 17, and 18. Said, these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. Do you believe? In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's as physical as I think it can be. I don't care. Maybe the stuff that's on the internet was false. Don't tell the world, though. I don't know. Let's go back to Romans 10, 8, and 9. Okay. Told you to remember this one. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be sozo. Yep. Now that verse wasn't changed. Yep. But what does it mean? Healed, preserved, make whole. It's the same with salvation. When you confess and believe, sozo. Are we confessing the world's feelings and what we see? Or are we confessing the Word? I need you to examine your own heart, because only you know what you've been saying. If I say, oh, you know, it's just not going to ever get any better. Now I'm over 50. It's just going to get harder and harder. Oh, you're going to have what you say. Yep. And you know why I say that? Because the Word of God says that. Yep. That's what I mean. Healing is exactly the same. It is for everyone. This should be our confession. It should be our praise. Even though I've got a pain, I say, thank God I'm healed. Oh, Father, I want to praise and thank you that you sent your Son and healed me. Because your praise is really the only thing you have to offer God. He gave you free will. And when you praise Him, He can't get that from anywhere else. Your praise is what you can give back to God. And it is our sacrifice, our sweet-smelling aroma coming from us. How about finances? You know, we're going to step on four toes today. So in our finances, how many of you have heard that interest rates are going up? How many of you have heard that there's probably a recession coming? How many of you have heard that doomsday is here and the world is falling apart? We're not going to make it. I mean, the world is peddling fear and fear and fear and fear. It's everywhere. You can't get away from it. Every newscast, every radio broadcast, every article is pumping fear into you. It's pumping unbelief into you. And I want you to know that I am as guilty as any other beautiful born-again Christian who's going up and saying, you know what? Have you seen the price of eggs? $10 a dozen? How are we going to afford this? I have allowed the world's message, the world's lies to come into my life. In fact, I work in sales, and my wife and I were talking about this last night, is another salesman and I were talking, and we say, well, yeah, our leads have been reduced. And I said, yeah, they sure have. The agreement and the implication is because the leads have been reduced, we're going to make less money. And there's a quiet agreement about that. But what should have been said? I typically have 25 appointments a week to make a certain amount of money. But Wendy and I was like, I don't care if it goes down to one appointment. Because it's not that job that supplies my needs. It's my God that supplies my needs. Matthew 6:8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. There's more to that verse, I think. No? Is that it? Okay. My Father in heaven already knows what I have need of. Now, that's very comforting. But look at the end of the verse. That you have need of before you ask Him. Okay? Just because God knows that you have a need doesn't mean it's going to pop up in your life. Boom, you instantly got everything you need. Life will show you that's not true. But God said, look, your faith and your exercising of faith is to ask me. Because I already know what you need. Ask me. Have faith that our Father knows, and then I can ask. Philippians 4:19. Everyone's heard this verse. Royal uses it all the time. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Okay, the streets are paved in gold, which means that's just a commodity. There is no lack. There's no shortages. And your need will be met. Now, prior to that verse, Paul... The Philippians donated money to Paul's ministry. Now, they did an action, and their action was, I'm going to give to God's cause. And as I give, God will meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory. There is an action to faith, to belief. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace come in abundance to you, so that you may always have complete sufficiency in everything and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. Once again, God's like, I've got all the stuff, and I'm willing to meet all of your needs. Amen. Represent me and go out and do a good work, do an act of charity. Give a little. Give a little. Luke 6:38. Give, and it would be given to you. You know, your finances, God says, I'm not going to limit your finances. But you need to work in the principles that I have here. Give, and it will be given to you. They, which is people, will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For with the standard of measurement you use, it will be measured to you in return. Now, if you notice, finances, we have to trust that God says, I've got everything. I already know what you need. I just need you to act. I need you to believe. I need you to trust. And this by doing. Amen. Trust by doing. Amen. Now, these verses sound great. And the Word of God is great. It's fantastic. But do we know or see Christians that have given money to special causes? They tithe and they do things, but we still see them suffering? Yes, we do. So, if I have faith and trust, if I just give, shouldn't I be receiving? Well, how can this be? God said, if I give, it will be given back to me. Mashed down, pressed together, shaken up, shall men give into my bosom. Well, am I confessing the world when I give something? I may have a good work and I've got some money and I'm going to give this money. And I turn around and say, I don't know why I gave that. I'm just not going to make it. I'm not going to have enough left over to pay my bills. Jesus says, you know what? You're going to have whatever you say. So even though I have given in an act of faith, I gave really much in a fear. Because there's many Christians that are following some of the Word, but as soon as they do it, they turn around and they speak the world's lies. They speak the junk that's going on. And you know, as we speak those idle words, it's really what we believe in our hearts. Because I passed by a friend of mine, he says, how are things going? I said, well, things are great, but you know, my appointments are lower. Or they're sending me to it, like we talked last night, they're sending me downtown all the time. You know what I found out when I started saying that? They started sending me downtown more. Yeah. I trust you, God, yeah. So she said, my wife, Gigi, said, from now on, we're going to say they're going to keep me closer to home. Amen. You know, it doesn't automatically happen just because you say it, but it takes saying it to be part of making it happen. Yeah. Let's go back to Romans 10, 8, 9. You've already had that verse, right? This is the third time. Come on, Robert, get off of it. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be sozo. Yeah. Do well. How amazing is that? Yeah. You know, sometimes we limit when we read the word. That verse right there is just absolutely amazing. Yes, yes. Are we confessing the world or the Word? Once again, evaluate your own heart in this respect. Let's go to safety. How about safety? Again, the news broadcasts. Fear, 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 fear. Fear on top of that. And then we're going to heap some fear on top of that. And we're going to heap some more fear on top of that. And if you didn't get that, here's some more fear.
Yeah.
You can't get away from it. Everywhere you go, there's every shadow, there's a robber behind it, and it's going to rob you. Every street you go down, you're going to turn into some riots that are there, and you're going to get caught up in it. You can't have anything nice because somebody's just going to take it from you. Fear, 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 fear is peddled. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe. I had an appointment with a lady the other day. She used to live in downtown Atlanta, and she moved to Sandy Springs. And she was talking about how she just couldn't handle it anymore, all the vagrancy and all the theft and the crime, and couldn't handle it. And I said, well, hear this confession? Now listen closely. My office sends me downtown all the time. Yes, I do. She says, ooh, have you not heard of the 10 to 14-year-old boys with backpacks? I said, no, I don't watch the news. She says, yeah, these 10 to 14-year-old boys with backpacks, they have guns in them, and they'll just come up and shoot you for no reason. You know, that should probably be plastered all over the news, first of all, and I should have heard it somewhere. But I didn't answer her. And she says, well, you need to tell your office not to send you downtown. But I want you to understand, that world message was put in my head. If I drive downtown and I see some kids with backpacks, will it not immediately come back to me and try to peddle fear into my life?
Yes.
Now, that lady was well-meaning. She didn't mean any harm by what she was saying to me. She was being concerned, right? And try to tell me to be safe. But that's the world's message, for me to walk in fear no matter where I go. What should I have done? Well, I got to read part of my thing here. I left out something here. So people will say that fear is a good thing, right? It says God is giving you that response so that you can protect yourself. Again, that is the world's message. And is that in the Bible, right? Okay, Kim? We can take from him every once in a while. John 14:27. What does Jesus do? Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. My Amplified says, let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. That's biblical. That's what Jesus Christ has done for you. And you know, it's already done. It's already done.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Psalms 23:4. Yea, and this is what I should have told the lady when she was telling me about these kids. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I needed to kill that fear right then. And I needed to stand on the word of God right then and not let it in. Joshua 1:9. The world's saying fear is a good thing, and we have a fear response built into us. Did you know God commanded us not to fear? So if the fear response is a part of us, why would God command us not to fear? God says, I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be terrified, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen.
He's trying to get you to put belief and trust in him.
Yes.
Now, you say, oh, that's an Old Testament verse, you know, and I'm a New Testament, New Covenant Christian. Well, God says, his spirit lives within me, and he will never leave me nor forsake me.
Amen.
So he is with me wherever I go, which means I hear your command, God, and I am going to be strong and courageous. I'm up here in front of you, and you all are terrifying. Nah, y'all are great. Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I am the Lord who says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Man, that's amazing. You don't hear that stuff in the world. You don't hear it in the world. How about Psalms 91? This one really excites me. 91, 9 and 11. If you, what about does it say? If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. How many ways?
All of them.
That to me is simply amazing. Because the world has been peddling fear tremendously bad here lately. You can go ahead. Go to 91, 14 and 15. God responds to what this person just said. God said, because he loves me. And you know what he did? He says, I say the Lord is my refuge. When I say the Lord is my refuge, God says, because he loves me. Not only that, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name.
Amen.
He said, God is my safety and my refuge. Yep. That's acknowledging the name of God. He acknowledged my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
Amen.
All right. All of us in this room have lived through COVID. COVID was the world peddling fear upon you something drastically. Every day you got up, they said, this is the number of people that have it. This is the number of people that are dying. And you're going to get it. You need to stay home and lock yourself in a box so that you don't get this. And then the next newscast says, you're all going to die. You're all going to have COVID. It's going to wipe out millions and millions of people. And then the next newscast, on the network news, they read Psalms 91. No, they didn't. They peddled fear and fear and fear. But if they had put Psalms 91 up on the broadcast, what would that have done to everyone in America and everyone that heard these broadcasts? You know, it might have put us to where we would stand up and say, you know what, God is my safety and my refuge.
Amen.
But they said, no, I can't have you standing strong and courageous. I need you to cower down and in fear and hide. We are not to live by the world's standards. We are to live in belief in our God, who's the creator of all this, who says, you know what? This is who you are.
Yeah.
We need to get our image of who we are, not from the world. The world says, you're no good. You should be afraid. They're going to take from you anyway. The world's falling apart. This political party's doing this. This political party's doing that. They're destroying everything. I say, you know what? I don't care what y'all do over there. My God says, I'm more than an overcomer. I'm a world overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror through the blood of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Get your image of yourself from the Word. Look into your heart and see what you've been saying to yourself. Oh, I've got a pain back here. It's not going to get better. Oh, the eggs are now $20 a dozen. What am I going to do? I can't give anymore. I might as well just give away everything I've got because they're going to steal it from me anyway. I'm not going to go home anymore because my wife's going to leave me because she's going to be able to have that grandbaby. That's the only truth I really just said right then, wasn't it? Y'all know it. Oh.
You get what you say.
That's true. It's true. I'm an awesome man and my wife wants to be with me all the time. There you go. That's my confession. We have God's Spirit within us, teaching us, leading us and guiding us and empowering us to be able to stand strong. In fact, he just says, look, I'm telling you to stand strong. You've got to relook at yourself. Not only that, he didn't even leave us alone. He sent his angels to help us in all these situations. There is nothing you're ever going to experience that God hadn't sent his angels there to help you if you believe. Because if I sit here and confess, I'm not going to make it. The angel said, that's not a word from God, so I'm not going to put that one to work. I'm just going to stand over here, and I don't know why they don't want to make it. I really hate it for them, but I'm going to let them have what they say. We must profess, speak God's truth, not the world's lies. Let's go back to Romans 10, 8 and 9. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth, if you confess with your mouth, just saying it doesn't make it happen, but saying it is a part of making it happen. Yes. The Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be sozo. Deliver or protect. What an amazing verse. What an amazing verse. Are we confessing fear? Or are we confessing God's truth? We can praise God forever and ever because of the goodness that he's got for us. You know, the Bible, the Old Testament, is full of examples of people who stand up when things look the worst and believe in what God said, and they start taking action on what God's Word said. And when they take action, they got put in the Bible because they showed faith and trust in God. Second Corinthians 1:20. This is who your God is. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. They are yes in Christ. They are yes in Christ. But listen to this. Pick out this little spot. And so through him, the amen is spoken by who? You know what amen means? So be it. God's promises are yes to us. And when we speak out and say, so be it, it is to the glory of God. Because we stood up and said, I trust in my God, and his promise is true, and it's real, and I profess it. I proclaim this word is mine. I don't know. Is Reed supposed to be playing music? I don't know. He's not even... What is that? Oh, tell Reed to come back up or tell Mike to come back up? Mike's going to play music? You don't have to, Mike. I was just wondering. There it is. Sweet! Because it's almost 30. There's a couple of things that I want to point out to you. God's word is truth, and it is our confession. It is truth. What we believe and what we confess is what we will experience. You are the sum total of the things you've been saying your whole life. And as my wife and I spent time last night, because I was nervous and she was helping me go through some of these things, we can look back in our entire lives and see the things that we have proclaimed and things that we've done, and look back and say, oh my gosh, that happened exactly like what we said. Oh my gosh, I didn't know I was doing that. And I'm talking about good things, and I'm talking about things that aren't good. My mother and my father are struggling and are hurting pretty bad right now. Both of them are. And their constant confession is the death and destruction of their bodies and the hurt. And I try to tell them, I said, look, that's not what God said. And they get mad at me. And I said, God has me in here for a reason. And I get so angry inside. The spirit inside of me just gets boiling mad. But I'm not going to yell at my mom and dad. So I was like, I'll just take it. But we are the sum total. I've heard my mom and my dad confess things. My dad was always, as a kid, you know, when you're sick, oh, Dad, I feel bad. He says, when you get up and go to school, you'll feel better. I didn't want to get up and go to school, but when I got up and went to school, I felt better. We'd go to work. I used to work for him. And all the people said, oh, it's going to rain today. We can't go out. And he said, it ain't going to rain. Get out there and go to work. You know, it wouldn't rain during work hours. Then after the quitting time, it starts pouring down rain. You know what? We're confessing things. And you're confessing the things you believe. It is amazing. We are God's children, and His promises are yes to you. Yes. And your confession is to the glory of God. You get that? Yes. You can glorify God by confessing His promises. It is to the glory of God. Do not limit God. We all do. Oh, you know, if He can take away this pain over here, I can live with diabetes or this or that. Why did I limit Him? He's all-powerful, all-knowing. It doesn't matter. Don't limit God by elevating your experiences, the situation that you're in right now, excuses by saying, you know, well, I guess this was His will because I'm here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And even other people's experiences ahead of God's word. Just don't do it. Trust God. He is faithful. He is faithful. His will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to leave you with this last verse right here. It is not Romans 10, 8, and 9. It's Mark 5, 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, the word that was spoken was from the world. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, or He says to you guys, be not afraid, only believe. Amen. Jesus Christ, basically, don't listen to the world. Don't be afraid. Believe. What are you believing today? What would the world say? Are we believing what the world says? Or are we believing what God says? I want to thank each of you for being here today. I want to thank Pastor David for this great honor of being up here. I didn't feel worthy. But God said, it ain't you anyway. I said, thank you. He's the one speaking. His word is speaking. So let's pray, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, it is your word of truth that we live by. It is your word, your accomplished word. You've already done the work that we need to take care of our lives. You've already done these things for us. And I ask you, Father, to touch each and every person in here today, to touch their heart and help them to examine what it is that they're trusting in, what it is they're professing and proclaiming. And help us to realize that when we profess your promise, proclaim your promises, that we are glorifying your holy name. And Father, I ask you to put your wisdom and your knowledge in everyone's heart, their mind, their soul, their bodies, that as we leave here today, we are truly more than conquerors. We are world overcomers. We are children of the Most High God. And we are highly favored. Yes. Father, we thank you. And I thank you for this time and this privilege. We praise your mighty name forever and ever and ever. For you are the only truth that exists. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim these things. And I bless everyone here as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen.